Bienvenidos all XL podcast. I'm your host Gabe Oldham, and this is my brother and host Gavin Oldham.
Word to your mother.
Sorry. I just got back from a little trip to Utah, back in the Arizona, back in the heat.
To Utah. Yeah. Wait, how was the Arizona heat?
It's hot. It's nice because it was so cold in Utah.
So cold. It was like 70 degrees.
It was not 70, bro. It was literally like 50s.
Oh, really?
It really was. It was like 50s, 40s.
No way.
It was dropping 40s at night.
Okay, at night. Calm down.
It was raining. And what?
It actually, it was windy. It was kind of cold. Never mind.
But,
that was like 2 days, though. Okay, anyways, doesn't matter. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's the old one coming out of me.
It was kind of nice in the coming back to Arizona, but at the same time, I was driving in the car today, and I had my AC blasting, and I just wasn't even cooling down. It just seems like...
getting into it.
Well, my AC is working, but it just did. I was still, like, hot. I was like, holy cow, this is tough. And then I get to, like, work.
How hot is it?
It's only, like, 100.
What was the high today?
101. But driving to work, it was like 96 driving to work.
Can't stand, dude. I don't know why you live there.
Basketball.
I mean, I know you're playing basketball, but I think I'd rather kill myself.
No, but then...
And there's people that live there year-round. What is wrong with you people?
Their entire lives.
You're in Satan's butt crack down there. What the heck?
Yeah, but even at work, like, has AC, and I was, like, sweating. I was, like...
Cooking in there, I bet, tell. Yeah.
It's hot. Like, I always walked into the fridge, like, the walk-in fridge, and I was, like...
Oh, I was chilling there.
And I opened the freezer, too, because the freezer's, like, in the back of the fridge.
Oh, dude, that's the job you should have gotten. That's
nice. What?
You should have been, like, the drink restocker at gas stations. Just drive a refrigerated truck and then just walk in and bang, 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 bang. You should have been that guy. In Arizona, that's going to be a bomb job, dude. Should
have gotten that job. Just the nice, cool air flowing on you every time you open it up.
You're just chilling in a fridge all the time? That sounds sick.
It's not bad.
That's a job to have in Arizona. Yeah. Crack the code. Crack the Arizona code. If you want to live in Arizona, top job, cooler boy. I don't know what their job's called, but we'll call it cooler boy.
Yeah. Cooler boy's not the worst name you could have given them.
That's true. So, like, can people even go to the pool, or is it just freaking hot? Like,
you can go to the pool, but you got to be in the pool. You can't. I mean, maybe you can lay out. I don't know.
No, there's no way you're laying out. That's instant cancer.
The UV index, I don't think, is actually that high.
With that heat, it's got to be. There's no way you're safe.
I don't think it's that high.
I don't know how that works, if I'm being honest.
Me neither, but I've been checking it. Oh, wait. Maybe it was high today.
It says we're sorry we've been so
11 at noon.
Behind on our podcast to all of our listeners. That's my fault. It's also my computer's fault. Our last episode was an hour and 40 minutes long. My computer did not like that. So I tried to download it, and it was like, no, we ain't doing that. So it took me like 4 tries. Finally worked, but it was like I left it on to try to download again when we left, because Gabe was here. So we made like a whole week of hanging out with Gabe and his fiance Leah, and we went out to the farm, and I'm just probably with Gabe while he was out here, because obviously we don't get to see him that often, so I wasn't able to download it and upload it. So lucky for you guys, unfortunately you didn't get one last week. Fortunately, you will get one tonight as of recording this, and your usual time on Friday, and we'll be caught up, hopefully. It's kind of the plan, so sorry about that. That's my bad. My computer did not like that long episode, so we'll try to keep it closer to an hour this time, because we just kept talking. Our bad.
Just yapping away.
But we are going to do a part two of missions, kind of give you more kind of what we did, stupid stuff we did as missionaries. I guess not stupid stuff, but just funny stuff. There's always weird things that happened to his missionaries, but I know that we ended with talking kind of our first companions. I remember talking about Carla when we met her, and how me and this brand new elder were both brand new trying to teach her, and how funny that was. But
yeah, talk about how we learned Spanish.
How we learned Spanish. So we kind of just want to go into now, you know, different companions, some funny stories with them, and kind of just stuff we remember from them, even people we met on the way. How many companions did you have, Gabe? Do you remember how many you had?
How many transfers are there in a mission?
17 and a half.
I think I had 12 or 13 companions.
I had 13.
Yeah. Most companions, I only had them for 6 weeks. For those who don't know, a transfer is 6 weeks long.
6 weeks. Were you ever in a trio?
Yes, I was.
How did you like that?
I loved it.
Really?
You hated it?
No, it was actually really fun.
You say like it was
me?
Really? Really? My experience was the opposite. Yeah. No, so yeah,
we gotta throw off the viewer.
Companions in the mission, I'd arguably say, is like 75% will make or break that transfer. If you enjoy
that's
it,
the hardest part of the mission.
Yeah, or if you hate it, that part is for sure. Because then, like, with all the
hardest part of your mission is companions, 100%.
Yeah, if there's anyone else that you like. Have a hard, like, there's anything else part of your mission that's hard, like trying to teach somebody, or, you know, maybe your own personal testimony, or maybe stuff at back home, whatever. As long as if you have a cool, solid companion who, like, you're friends with, like, it's always kind of like a good shoulder to lean on. Versus when you don't have that, it's just you hate that, like, you hate that transfer, and they make it harder, and then everything else stacked up on top of it.
I thought about going home 3 times. All of those times were when I had the worst companion on the planet Earth. At least that's what it felt like.
Yeah.
The first time it happened, I was like 2 months in. No. It was my third transfer. I don't know.
Cambio.
My cambio. Thank you.
Change.
That's called cambio. Cambios. Right.
The Spanish English coming out.
It was. But it was, yeah, my third or fourth transfer. Yeah, because you train for 12 weeks, right? So that's two. Yeah, so it was my.
Transfers.
Mm-hmm. Did that third transfer? I remember calling mom, like, can I please come home? I didn't call her, I guess. Emailed her, like, can I please come home? She was like, no, what's going on? She was like, so sweet. And I'm like, I hate getting my companion. I was like, I think he's looking over my shoulder reading this as I'm typing it, and I don't care.
No, I don't care.
I think there's an email out there that I think says that. I hated him. But it was funny because, like, I remember, so when you get set apart, you kind of are given, like, a blessing. If you don't know what a blessing is, it's just kind of like a prayer for you, I guess. It's kind of the best way I can explain it. And so I got set apart as a missionary, and one of my promises was... all of my companions will love me, and I would be their favorite companion. That was a blessing to me. And so I had this companion, and I was like, I don't know how that's going to happen because I'm going to murder him. Like, me and this kid almost got in a fist fight, like, straight up. This actually is a good story. We went to this – he was the second counselor in the branch, and he was just –
He was?
We always went to, no. We were at this guy's house. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Not my companion. Sorry, that did sound a bit confusing. My bad.
Well, that's interesting. I thought I was a missionary, not a counselor in the church.
No, so me and my companion go to the second counselor, and we're just chit-chatting with him. He usually went with us to, like, meet new people. He was really cool. So he was really good at, like, meeting our investigators and stuff because he's just a really cool, chill dude. His name was Hermano Nacho. So we were at Hermano Nacho's house, and... he gave us a mango. He had these old mangoes. They were, like, gross, but, like, they were going to go bad, like, the next day or something. Like, they weren't, like, they were at the end of their life. And he's like, do you guys want some mangoes? And I said at first, I'm like, no, I don't want a mango. I don't love mango. I was like, no, I don't want one. He's like, well, take it anyways. When you get home, and our home was like maybe half a mile away, if you don't eat it on your walk home, throw it away. That was what he said to me, okay? Well, I knew I wasn't going to eat it. I didn't want it. We were leaving his house late because we went blah, blah, blah. We came back. So we're leaving his house. It was probably 10 o'clock. We're supposed to be home at 9:30. Don't worry. We got permission from the higher-ups, so we were allowed to be out a little later on this particular day. But we're getting home late, so there's nobody outside. This is also a tiny town, so it's not like I have a chance of, like, seeing, like, a homeless dude and be like, hey, do you want some fruit? Like, I'm talking, like, the only thing that was outside were wild dogs. So there's – we get out. We walk probably a little bit. I see a dumpster, like, kind of far away, and I'm like, I'm just going to try to huck this mango into the dumpster. If I miss – the wild dogs will eat it that are sitting next to it or whatever, right? So I hucked this mango. Actually cashed it. I was pretty pumped about that. Cashed in the dumpster. I was kind of far away. I was like half a block away. I was like, dang, that was pretty good.
That was cash.
Cash it. My companion looks at me absolutely disgusted, pissed. He's like, why did you do that? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, I'm like, do what? Like, I was so confused. And he's like, why did you throw that mango away? And I go, because I didn't want it. And he goes, and you took it from Hermano Nacho's house? And he go, did you not hear the conversation we just had with Hermano Nacho about this mango? Like, we had a full one. I was like, I don't want it. He told me throw it away, blah, 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 right? Exactly what I just told you. And he was like, it doesn't matter. You could have given that to somebody or blah, blah, blah. I'm like, do you see anybody outside? And he's like, no. And then I go, then don't worry about it. Like, I don't see why, like, I don't see what's going on here. And he literally looks at me and goes, he says something, and then he says, like, he starts cussing me out, like, straight up cussing me out in Spanish. He's like, blah, blah, blah. And all I remember, he goes, I don't remember what he said in Spanish. Something along, not very good. That's all I remember. It pissed me off. And I was like, you know what? Screw you, dude. You suck. You're the worst companion ever. Like, I got everything on my chest because he sucked. Like, he would, like, wake up at, like, super late, get up at, like, noon. And, like, the fun part of being a missionary is, like, going out and talking to people. And he was, like, stripping that away from me. Like, he was a lazy missionary, right? And so I let him have it right there. All of my grief that I've been having with him for the last few weeks, blah, blah, blah. And he just turns around and goes, all right, let's do this. And he just puts his fists up. So I was like, all right. And I think he was like trying to like, I think he didn't think I was going to fight him. I was like, no, I don't like you. I'm down to fight right now. He was also like 4 feet tall and weighed maybe 110 pounds. So I was definitely winning the fight. I had reach on him all day. I don't weigh a lot myself, but I definitely was winning that fight. So I just look at him, all right, let's do this. So I just put my hands up, like, not really, but like kind of like, you know, and I'm like, all right, let's do this. And then he goes, I know karate. He pulled that move. And then he starts like lifting his leg up straight. He goes like, he like does this and like lifts his leg and does this like weird thing. And I was like, what are you doing? And he goes, I'm gonna beat you up, dog. And I'm like, all right, go for it. Let's see it. And then he just goes, never mind. And then just storms off. And just like, I walked home that night, like home alone. Sorry. Like he just like sprinted ahead of me, did not want to walk with me, and like I just walked behind him. I was like, I'll eventually get to the house. And then the next morning, he started doing like, during scripture study, he opened our front door and on our front porch was doing like karate poses. And I was like, I don't know what he wants. It's so funny. I was like, dude, what the heck?
Intimidation.
So, I almost fought my companion over a mango.
Yeah, and I say same for me too. The lowest of my mission was definitely when I had my least favorite companion. And I remember just talking, oh my gosh, I can feel how I felt with those conversations I had with mom. Cause
oh yeah,
I was
after. Oh, yeah, cause you were able to talk to her.
I was able to talk to her. And I remember I was sitting in the hallway and you have to be within sight of your companion, but only, and like also sound, but if you're in a church building, it's not like, you're not going to be so far away you can't hear each other, but see each other, you know? And so he was at one end of the hall, and this is a stake center, and I was all the way into the other end of the hall. And like, so we could like
whispering to mom.
I was whispering to mom. I was like, mom, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill this kid. I'm going to kill him. Like, I hate him. I hate him. I want to go home. And I just remember how I felt in those conversations. Just so like defeated, you know? Just so defeated, especially to that transfer. We weren't having a lot of success. Like people really weren't interested, you know, XYZ. So it was really, really hard. But this kid.
That is hard.
I'll spare the tedious details, but yeah, same thing. Like, he was a good missionary, but he was very prideful and very stubborn. And I think I know why, because he had, when he was a little kid, he had brain cancer, so he had a lot of health problems.
Okay.
And so I think, like, his development of his body was, how do I put this? Like, he was, like, 5 foot, like, four.
Okay.
Or, like, 5 foot three. Like, he was short.
Yeah.
And so, and he had, like, some weird shoulders, I guess. I don't know. I'm not trying to hate on him. I'm trying to give you a picture of, like, who this kid was, you know?
Yeah.
So he had some development issues, and he was not athletic, like, at all. But it seemed like as he grew up, he wanted to be, like, he felt like he, I don't know the way to put it, but at least it's like he wanted to be better than everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And he had this kind of pride. And I think it's just because maybe he got made fun of, or maybe he just felt less than because of these physical issues. And he was terrible at Spanish. And for reference, all of Gavin's companions all spoke Spanish and were native Spanish speakers. It was the opposite for me. Usually I spoke the best Spanish out of all of my companions. They were all white. They were all from the United States, and they all spoke English, and they didn't speak a lick of Spanish for the most part. Damn. I shouldn't say a lick. They did speak Spanish, but the levels of their Spanish definitely were up and down from companion to companion.
Hola, ¿cómo estás, hermano?
See, you're probably better than some of these guys. Hola, ¿cómo está, hermanos?
¿Cómo está?
Yeah, dude, I had a band that would say that stuff.
That's so funny, dude.
Yeah, but, sorry, I'm kind of going too much details. But, yeah, I just, like, couldn't stand this kid. We never related to anything. Like, we would sit in the car. And here's another difference. Gavin had to walk. I had a car. We would sit in the car and in silence. 15-minute ride in silence. We wouldn't talk to each other. I remember we would go days without talking to each other. Well, let me rephrase that. We would go days without talking to each other when we didn't have to. If that makes sense. You know?
That's crazy.
Because you have to plan together. You have to do, like, lessons and plan where you're going to go in the day. But outside of that, like, while we were walking, while we're in the car, you know, those moments, yeah, we just didn't talk to each other. In silence.
I can relate to that. I had a companion like that.
So, get to the fight, though. So, I'm already hate.
You guys fought? Kid. Hold up. I didn't know that.
No, sorry. We I'm excited fought, now. But, like, it was, like, verbal. It wasn't a fist or anything like that.
I still like it. I'm excited.
So, he hated basketball too, by the way.
Boo.
And for me,
that was every single one of my companions. They were all Mexican.
Different to Gavin, we had churches here in the United States, and every church has a basketball court, like a hardwood finished floor basketball court. Or at the very least, a carpet floor, but two hoops, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And in this area, we were with another set of missionaries, the assistants, and I was friends with them, and we'd always play basketball. And one night, I get a call from the assistants. They say, hey, we want to play basketball tomorrow, but we have a meeting at 8:30, so we'd need to bump up our basketball like 30 minutes or 45 minutes earlier. So how about we wake up a little earlier, get to the gym a little earlier so we can play, and it's, like, worth our while.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, perfect. I just said right there on the phone, I was like, yeah, let's do it, and then hung up. And I look over at my companion, and he looks almost as if I had just told him that his mother's a fat bleepity bleep bleep and that I shot his dog. Like, the horror on his face. He was, like, there was no soul behind his eyes. He was just staring at me, and he was so mad. And I was like, you okay, bro? And he goes, well, if I have to wake up early tomorrow to play basketball with you, then you have to go You have to go do your dishes right now. This guy was a clean freak. You know what dishes I had in the sink? I had a plate and a fork, and that was it in the sink.
Gabe remembers to this day what he had.
I do, because I was so annoyed that he was so pissed off about what I had in the sink that he was going to make it such a big deal. And I go, I'll do it tomorrow, dude. Like, that's my routine. I'll do it tomorrow. It's going to be fine. Yeah. He was like, whatever. And then he said to me, I can't remember if it was that night or if it was the next day we had this conversation, but long story short, he was like, I don't even like basketball, and you're going to make me wake up early? And I said to him, I was like, dude, it's 30 minutes early. Like, get over it. It's going to be fine. And he was like, dude, are you kidding me? You take naps, and I took naps during, like, our lunch hour. He was like, you literally, for someone who sleeps so much, you're going to sacrifice sleep? And I was like, yeah, to go play basketball. I was like, and if you care so much, just take a nap on the couch at the church. Like, you'll be fine.
That's valid.
He was like, whatever. And then the next morning comes. I set my alarm, 6 a.m., and that's just 30 minutes. That's only 30 minutes earlier than we normally will have to wake up. 6 a.m., get out of bed. I go to the bathroom, put my shoes on, make my bed. I am ready to go. Grab my basketball shoes, ready to go. Like, I'm ready to go at, like, 6:05. Literally, it took me no time. He rolls out of bed. Like, he slept in, rolls out of bed probably around 6, I'd say 6:15.
Okay.
Oof. And I'm just sitting there I'm just sitting there in the living room, just like, are you kidding me? And then he always had a morning poop. Fresh off the bed pooping. Is that crazy?
That is actually pretty crazy.
First thing he would do when he wake up is he'd go poop. And so he went and took his poop, and normally it's like 5 minutes, whatever, 10 minutes. He took 20 minutes.
Ugh, I'd be so mad right now.
So here comes.
I am mad right now. I'm already livid.
Here comes. It's probably around right now, like 6:30-ish. He gets out of the bathroom. Takes forever to make his bed. Takes forever to put his shoes on. He, like, was just taking his sweet merry time. We finally get out of the house around, like, probably 6:40-ish. Uh-huh. And we end up getting to the church around 6:45, 6:50 maybe. Mm-hmm. And by the way, we were probably supposed to get there around like 6:20 at the latest.
Right.
So we're getting there almost right near 7 o'clock. And the assistants, these other missionaries, they're just like, where were you guys? Like, what happened to our plan to play? And I was just like, sorry, we slept in. That's just all I said. I was like, sorry, we slept in. And they're like, all right. So we play for like 15 minutes, 20 minutes most. And then they had to leave to go get ready and shower and get ready for their meeting at 8 a.m. And then, you know, we sat there and I just shot around by myself, whatever. And then the time comes where we need to go back to the apartment to get ready for the day. So we go back. Guess what I do? Oh, I was pissed. Yeah. I didn't say it because I knew exactly what he did. He did all that just to be passive aggressive and
I would make petty. The biggest meal I could and then leave all the dishes there.
Everything. Guess what I did? We get back and I said, and I instantly, and I knew my plan, dude. And I'll just say this was not the most Christ-like thing I could have done. but we all make mistakes. You know, we all have that pride in us. And I can admit it now. I should not have done this, but this is what I did.
I'm so excited.
I get out of the car so fast. I get right inside. I instantly throw my clothes off. I jump in the bathroom, lock the door. Turn the hot water on, and I let that baby run.
Yes.
I let that baby run. I turned it on. Yes. I turned it on, and then guess what I did? I brushed my teeth the second time that morning, because I already brushed my teeth before we left. Brushed my teeth the second time. I probably took a good 5 minutes. I literally scrubbed each individual tooth thoroughly. Yeah. I shaved. This is the cleanest shave I've ever had in my life. I shaved it so clean. I did my aftershave. I did my face cleansing routine. I took my vitamins. I did the whole 360. Okay? And then I get in the shower and I lay down on the shower floor.
Heck yeah.
I just laid on the shower floor and we had a clock in our bathroom, so I knew exactly what time it was. And I was watching the clock and I'm like, I'm not getting out of here until right when it's time to start like our day when we're supposed to like when we have to be ready, have eaten breakfast, all that. And so I probably got in the shower around, I don't know, I'd say like 7:45 maybe, and I got out at like 9:05. And our day started at 9.
You were there for an hour and 15 minutes?
Yeah. The water running the whole time.
That's crazy, dude.
And I felt the water starting to get kind of mild warm. So I was like, oh, I'll hurry and take my shower. And then I got out of the shower and let it run until it was cold.
I love that. That's so amazing.
Oh, if you want to be petty, I'll be petty right back, bud. And I get up. Heck and so yeah. I get out of the bathroom.
Hey, fair play, dude. Yeah, he wasn't so pressed like that morning either.
I get out of the bathroom, walk into the bedroom, and I say, and he's sitting on the bed, or let me be clear so everyone knows, we share a bedroom but not a bed. We have two separate beds. That's the way it works. So I walk in there, he's sitting on his bed, and I go, he goes, I was like, what happened? Did you lose track of time? Oh no, what did he say? He's like, what took you so long? And I said, oh, and I had this like, Gavin, I mean like, these absolute fire, rage, and death behind my eyes. I give him this glare, and I'm just pissed about the whole thing that happened that morning. I go, and let me just tell you, it wasn't just the fact that he didn't want to play basketball. It was like, this was like two-thirds of the way through the transfer, and so I'm absolutely just
yeah, this is the straw that broke the camel's back, for sure.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I look at him, and I just go, I was just like, oh, we all just lose track of time, don't we? So, oops, sorry. That's exactly how I said it.
That's so good.
Just super stale and sarcastic. Just, oops, sorry.
My bad, G.
And there was a moment of like 5 seconds of just silence.
Yes.
And I just, and we just stared at each other. And I had that like absolute pissed off. And he was like, and after that he was like, oh, okay. That's all he said. And oh my gosh. I would have never like fought any like pants, but if he would have tried something, oh, I would have laid him out.
Oh, 100%.
If he would have done what your companion did and put up fists like that, I would have thrown the first punch just because he put up his fists.
Nice.
And I would have told my mission president, I've been like, hey, he put him up. I was doing self defense. But long story short, that was the end of our fight. Really much, we didn't resolve it or anything. But I remember he got in the shower, and I go on my phone to text my mom. And you're not supposed to do this because this was like a Tuesday or Thursday. We're only allowed to communicate with our families on our selected P day, which is most of the time on Monday for most people. Mm-hmm. And I text mom, and I'm just like, I'm gonna kill him. Like I can literally go back in the messenger with mom right now where it's like, I hate him, I kill him, I'm gonna come home, like X, Y, Z. Oh dude, that was by far the hardest transfer I had my entire mission.
Oh, I bet. Dude, you saying all of that just reminded me of, because all I can remember from that companion, because it was funny, so like I said, I was promised I was gonna be like best friends with all my companions. Or I was going to be their favorite companion. And I was like, I don't know how that's even sort of true. Because I don't like Cam. And I'm a person, if you're willing to let me know you don't like me, I'm cool with letting you know I don't like you either. You know? Mm-hmm. And I let him know I didn't like him. I mean, we got in yelling matches constantly. Like, we would yell. I'm not kidding. We had multiple times one of my favorite people on my mission. I was never companions with him, but he was my zone leader a bajillion times, it felt like. It was probably only like twice, but it felt like a bajillion times. Probably because of how often I saw him during this one transfer I was with this kid. He had to come and mediate like companionship inventories on Thursdays sometimes. I'm not kidding. We had a mediator for some of our conversations.
Explain what that is.
So a companionship inventory is kind of like you kind of go through your, like you kind of let each other know like, hey, what do you... It's kind of like just letting each other what you dislike and like about each other and how the other what you can improve.
Do, what you can do to help each other and better your relationship. Help each other. Better
relationship as companions. And also like spiritually, like, you know, here, I this is what I'm working on as, a, you know, spiritually, what I want to work on and what I want to learn. And you kind of let them into your life to help them let you. And it's supposed to build your relationship. Because when you have a good relationship, like Gabe said, it makes your transfer, one, way more fun, way more enjoyable. And like Gabe said, like, it probably had a lot to do with butting heads. Like, you guys didn't have a lot of success. And just because all you can think about is, I don't like this person, instead of focusing on where are the people we need to find and teach, you know?
Yeah.
And that happened with me, the exact same thing. We could not, like, we're supposed to find, so down in Mexico, really easy to find people. In fact, we even had to, like, we're supposed to, like, find 16 new people every week. We couldn't find 7. Like, I think the most me and that companion ever had were 9. And it was not hard. Like, after that, I found consistently 25 to 30 every single week with all of my rest of my companions. Like, it's not hard. It was very easy to find new people to teach. Could not find 9. And it's all I could, because probably because I would let him lead. I would walk around those streets.
You were just sandbagging your stats.
It's true. I was. I would just wander. I remember I would just wander and just stare at the road, just thinking about slapping that kid as hard as I could in the face all day. And it was even funnier. Did
you walk in silence?
Oh, I'd walk in silence all the time. Would not talk to
him. Was that as bad as me? Like, am I?
I did too many companions. I don't know. No, it was pretty bad.
Majority, besides like maybe the first week, all four, like the remaining 5 weeks, it was silent outside of like planning and maybe the occasional like, hey, remember that we have to do this or something like that.
It was just always so up and down because like, he was a cool kid. That was the problem. It's like I did as a person, I loved him. But as a missionary, he sucked. He was a terrible missionary. I had a
companion like that.
He was lazy, but like as a person, like he had cool stories from where he lived, and like he was a really good cook. So like on our P days, I had so much fun with that kid on P day. But then the rest of the week, I wanted to murder him. And it pissed me off even more because guess what day he would wake up the earliest on?
P day.
P-Day. Why? Because where we were at, there was nothing. I mean, like no restaurants to eat at, nothing to see, nothing to do really. But there was the rest of our entire zone were all within this one city, a 30-minute bus ride away. So we wake up at 7 o'clock, hitch a ride. We would literally go put our thumbs out on the highway. Somebody would give us a hitch, like would give us a ride to the city 30 minutes away, and we'd hang out all P-Day over there. But then we come back and work, and guess who's waking up at noon the rest of the week?
Come back to work.
This kid. It pissed me off. I hate it. I've never studied the Book of Mormon, the Bible, the freaking, what's it called? Preach My Gospel so much in my life. I knew Preach My Gospel like the back of my hand, man. It was crazy. Anyways, but we would fight all the time. I remember. And so when he left, I was so excited. My next companion was so much fun. He was sick. He was super cool. We found a lot of people. We got a lot of baptizing done. It was awesome. Fast forward, I get a call. Hey, you're moving down to Saltillo, which was like the main city of my mission. I was super pumped. I've never been there, like other than like the one night I spent there when we got there from the MTC, right? And I'm training. So I was like, oh, this is exciting. I've only been there for like 6-7 months. Like I'm still pretty new, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, sick. I got to go train. I'm training and I'm a district leader. And I'm whitewashing an area. So this is all new to me.
District leader, to explain, is we've explained how there's like districts and zones. And so you have a mission. It's into subsections called zones. And then even those zones are broken into districts. Each one has like a leader. And essentially what these leaders do is just like help the missionaries, make sure they're doing good.
Check in on them.
Mentally, spiritually. Give them advice on how they can be better missionaries, teaching and maybe with the language or whatever. So that's what those leaders do.
I ran a meeting every Wednesday. And really that meeting was just us having a good time as missionaries together.
For being honest.
So it was cool.
I kind of glorified it with my response. In reality, that's all it was. Let's have a meeting and have a good time.
Let's have a meeting on Wednesday. I'll call you every night and see how your guys' day went. That was about it. And so I went down and this is the first time I had met the sisters on my mission as well, other than that one time again that I came into the MTC. So, and this is my first time meeting all the sisters. Like, all of these sisters were in this one district. So I had, like, me and my companion, the zone leaders were in my district, and then the sisters. So we had a 12, for us, like, usually a normal-sized district for us was, like, maybe 6 people because we had such big areas. So we had 12 in this one. It was, like, double. So I was like, oh, okay. So we go. And one of the hermanas comes up, and she's like, her name was Hermana Garcia, and she goes, you're Elder Oldham. She's my name. She's like, you're Elder Oldham. I go, yeah. And she goes, Elder Ruiz loves you. He cannot stop talking about you. Now, for example, Elder Ruiz was the mission companion I had that we fought all the time, and I almost fist fought, okay? And I go, huh? She goes, huh? He loves you. We think you guys are best friends. Are you guys not? And I go, Elder Ruiz? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, I think you got the wrong dude. Like, I straight up said that. I was like, I think you got the wrong guy. I was like, there's got to be another Elder Ruiz that at some point I met on some point in my mission. And like, we had a good P-Day together. Like, he had to be a companion of somebody else. We had like a good P-Day together and he liked me or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
It had to be that. And then Elder Ruiz comes in and goes, Elder Oldham, and gives me the biggest bear hug. And I was like, what the heck? I was like, what's, like, I just kind of was, like, awkward, but, like, kind of was like, okay, hey, what's up, dude? Like, again, like, I never had, like, hate towards the kid. It was just, like, so hard to be his companion because of how lazy he was.
Yeah, of course. So I was like,
where was the, like, flip around where he was like, dude, like, he literally was like, oh, guys, this is Elder Oldham I always tell you guys about. He's sick. You guys are going to love him. Like, that's literally what he said at the beginning of our meeting.
What the heck?
And so then the APs look at me like, hey, we got to go to a meeting. Can Elder Ruiz, like, hang out with you and your companion for the rest of the day? And I was like, in my head, I'm like, ugh, sure. Because I knew how it was going to go. It was going to be some lazy missionary that I got to haul around and keep track of for the next day. I already did it for the last freaking, I did it with him for 6 weeks. I don't want to do it again, but whatever, I'll do it, right?
Yeah.
So we go, and I just, like, we kind of go, and he's like, oh, yeah, we're having lunch with this lady. Let's go, because we're in the same ward. And he's like, yeah, we're having lunch with this lady in our ward. Let's go, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right. So he hops in. He's like, I'll pay for the taxi. Boom, boom. And let you know, paying for a taxi on our missions was like, dude, if somebody was willing to pay for the taxi, they're like, they were either swimming in money or that was just a really nice act, okay? Because, like, taxis were expensive to us. They were so expensive. He's like, I'll pay for the taxi. So we hop in a taxi, go to lunch. And then I'm like, do you guys – I was like, we're brand new in our area, so we have nobody to teach. So I'm like, we can either go knock doors, or if you have anybody, we can go teach in your area, because the zone leaders are, you know, at meetings. If you have, like, any places for people we can go meet, let's go do that. He's like, all right, I have a couple people. So his area was like an hour walk away. So I'm like, all right, let's do it. So while we're hoofing it, I just straight out ask him, because I already told my trainee, I was like, Elder Ruiz is in our area. I'm so sorry. He sucks. Like, I had already said that. Like, I already let him know. So I look at him and just go, Elder Ruiz, what's up, dude? And he goes, what are you talking about? I'm like, dude, last time I saw you, like, we hated each other. Like, I said it like it was, you know? And he was telling me that he was put with the APs, or sorry, not the APs, the zone leaders, because they're in a trio because of how disobedient he was. He went with another companion. Again, was super disobedient. So finally, the mission brother's like, I got to put with somebody who's going to, like, force him to, kind of have to force him to be obedient. Yeah. So he's put with the zone leaders, and he's like, I just realized, like, he told me, he's like, as much as we fought and as much as we, like, you know, during the work and stuff, he's like, one, we did have a good time with each other when we weren't working. And two, he's like, I did realize, like, you're the only missionary that didn't judge me for who I was as a missionary, like, how lazy I was. He was like, we would go to lessons, and, like, you wanted my input on, like, what should we teach these people? What should we go? Like, you wanted me to be a part of the lesson. Like, he's like, with the zone leaders, like, it's like, shut up, sit to the side, just follow us, wake up on time. Like, that's all, like, kind of the zone leaders were kind of making him do. Just making sure he was following, like, the rules of the mission, but don't talk to the lessons. We don't need you to do it. Like, blah, blah, blah. Like, you were just there to sort of be quiet and not help, pretty much. And so he told me that. He's like, I just realized, like, you, even though it sucked, you still wanted me to be a part of the process and be a missionary, even though I didn't want to be a good missionary. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And after that, we were, like, best friends. Like, he was in my district, like, most of my mission, like, all the time. Like, I'd leave and then go to a different district, and he would, like, show up later on, or vice versa. But we were in, like, the same district all the time. And we're, like, best friends. So it was super weird because, like, I did not like him. And that happened with a lot of my mission companions that I didn't like. Most of them I did. Like, there was only two or three. I want to say two. Because I trained another kid right after this. And he was probably worse than Elder Ruiz. But because he was mega obedient. And I think kind of on the same page as your companion, like, kind of prideful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I know more about the church than you. I know this. And I was like, ugh. I won't get a lot into him because, again, it turned out that I loved the kid. I was, you know, I trained him, and He was a really good missionary. He was just super, super strict, and it was hard to do, because the only thing that bugged me was he didn't want to talk about anything other than missionary work. Like, that was his rule. No talking about our families, no talking about things we like, no talking about anything outside of who we're teaching this gospel or, you know, what we're teaching people. Like, it was 100% church, or let's not talk about it. Wow, and so that's it sucked. Cool. It was so hard. Yeah, and, like, me and Gabe, coming from, well, an Oldham family, first, we can talk anybody's ear off. We can talk a lot. And Gabe was the same way as me. I'm pretty sure, correct me if I'm wrong, but growing up, me and Gabe had a lot of interests. I mean, we were interested in a lot of things, whether, you know, a lot of sports, a lot of different things we like to do. Like, me and Gabe know how to do a lot of things kind of okay. Like, we're kind of a jack of all trades. Let's put it that way. And it pisses my wife off, because she was like, let's go play this sport, and I'll do it. And she's like, why are you so good at it? I'm like, I'm sorry, I just had a lot of interest as a child.
Yeah, no, I can literally talk, I can connect with anyone. Even, like, I had some weirder companions, and they're like, oh, I like origami. Like, I remember this one companion who I absolutely loved, and he was, like, looking back on it, he was the absolute biggest nerd ever. Like,
yeah.
I would consider myself as more of, like, an athlete. Yeah. Not jock, but, yeah, more of an athlete, and you wouldn't assume athlete, that we'd be friends. But, like, dude, me and him just, we had such a good time together. We just joke around all the time. Yeah. He loved computers, and so I was like, well, tell me about this computer. Tell me about this. And, like, I guess I don't know a lot about computers, but I do have interests in software engineering and, like, different systems and cybersecurity and stuff like that. And so, like, we completely connected, and you would have guessed, like, how are these guys, like, homies?
Buddies,
they shouldn't be.
Yeah. No, and because of that, like, you know, me and Gabe just had all these interests. Like, we connect with people very well, and it's probably why we make friends wherever we go. It's pretty easy for us. Like, it's not hard to, like, connect with somebody. Also, like, I like new things. I like learning about new things. So, like, even if you have an interest I've never heard about, tell me about it. Like, I'm all for it, you know? So we connect in a lot of different ways. And because of that, like, everyone went. So I was in a trio right before I was training this kid. And, I mean, instantly clicked with this kid. I mean, it was his name was Elder Ash. I love him to death to this day. We had so much fun. And then he was training Elder Urias. Again, I'm not his companion. I never trained him. So me and Elder Ash went down. I was in a trio with Elder Ash and Elder Escobedo, I think. And then me and Elder Ash went down and picked up Elder Blanco.
So hold up, and, pause. Right now, are you in a trio, or are you training any other missionary that you're with is training?
So this is right before I met Elder Blanco. So I'm not training. I'm in a trio.
Okay.
Trio gets disbanded. Me and one of the other elders in the trio go down, pick up our new trainees, come back.
Okay.
So Elder Ash is training Elder Urias, I believe, from what I kind of remember. Yes. And I'm training Elder Blanco. And me and Elder Blanco are just butting heads all the time, dude. And so eventually, long story short, we get to this one point. We're, like, sitting in a park. We're doing some, like, studying. And Elder Blanco, kudos to him, we had a deep conversation. He kind of said, Elder Oldham, why are we struggling so bad? And I go, what do you mean? He goes, why do we not have a good relationship? Because he's like, I see, because, again, in my mission, we always had, like, multiple missionaries in a branch or a ward. Which is the names of different sizes of
congregations.
Thank you. Congregations. I could not say that word in our church. Congregations in our church. And so we always ate together at a member's house. So he goes, whenever we go on P-Day or we're at their houses, like, you chit-chat with Elder Ash and Elder Rios, like, it's super easy for you. Like, why can't we do that? And I was just like, do you want me to be honest? And he goes, yeah, we're not friends. And he goes, what do you mean? And I go, I click with Elder Ash like this. The first day I met him, we chit-chatted each other's ears off. We talked and talked and talked. And Elder Rios, I love him to death. He's hilarious. We get along. Me and Elder Rios have nothing in common. This dude was like a classical dancer.
Elder Blanco, you mean?
No, Elder Rios.
Who is your trainee?
No, other guy's trainee.
Okay.
We had nothing in common. Urias was like a classical dancer, loved classical music, blah, blah, blah. But he was also just this little short Mexican kid who loved Dua Lipa as well. Like, was in love with Dua Lipa. Was in love with Dua Lipa. And so I would always joke around, and we would always make jokes. I'm like, I get home before you, so I'm going to go hit up Dua Lipa. And he goes, if you touch her, I'm going to kill you. I have a notebook. I need to find it now, because I have a notebook with, like, I always had, like, my ex, like, my companions when I was leaving, like, write notes to each other, like, hey, it was fun being your companion, blah, blah, blah. Kind of like a yearbook kind of thing of idea. It was fun. Anyways, I have one where he put a picture, because there's a picture of, during our Christmas party where, like, Elvis, again, is, like, 4 feet tall. So there's a picture of me holding him up to my height like a baby. I'm holding him up like this, and he has that, and then under it, like, he put tape, and then he flipped it up, and it's just a picture of Dua Lipa, and he goes, she's mine, is what he wrote next to it.
She's mine. That's comedic, bro.
So funny. So, funny kid. But, like, the only thing, and I'm not, like, a Dua Lipa fan. She's an attractive lady, but, like, but we made jokes about it all the time, and me and Elvis had jokes and jokes and jokes all the time. Me and Elder Blanco had 1,000 things in common. Kid loved basketball. He loved, like, all the music I liked. Other than being on opposite sides of the world, we grew up the same way. Like, had the same amount of siblings. He had one brother and 3 sisters. Like, he was the oldest. Like, we had so much in common, and we could not hate each other more.
Wow.
And so I just told him, I'm like, dude, you have a stick up your butt. And he's like, what do you mean? And I go, dude, like, the fact that we can't talk about anything other than the church, I'm like, I get it. That's why we're here. Like, I don't know anything about you, dude. You won't let me. Like, that's how we become friends. I get to know you. You get to know me. Yeah. You know? We need to know, like, if we're just talking about who we are as missionaries, I've only been a missionary for barely a year. That's, like, a very small piece of my life, you know?
Right.
So, like, that doesn't make a sense. Like, that's not, like, really who I am. It is who I am right now, but, like, not really. And he was like, oh, okay. Ouch. Like, literally was like, that kind of hurts. I was like, we're not friends. And I'll be honest. And I was like, and I can kind of tell. I kind of have, like, I had, like a feeling. Like, I knew when my companion was leaving. And I was like, and I have a feeling that I'm staying and you're leaving within the next couple weeks. And sure enough, he did. And so I was like, I don't think we're going to be friends by the time you leave. And I was like, and that's not saying I hate you and I don't like you and I don't want to be your friend. I've been trying. But it's hard when we can't talk about anything other than church. And he was like, all right. And he didn't change his ways. Like, he didn't change. Like, okay, let's let each other in. Like, he's like, well, that's how I am as a missionary. And then we chit-chatted later when I saw him again one day, and he was just like, he was super different, like, super happy. He was also kind of like an angry missionary. He was super happy, super chipper. And yeah, he just kind of like let go of his ways and became less prideful, and he was a good missionary.
That's cool.
And all his companions liked him, but it was so hard, because it was like, it was just so bizarre, because, like, that's all I said. I was like, we're just not friends, like, because it was hard to become your friends. How do you become friends with somebody who won't tell you what they like?
Right, who won't talk to you.
It was hard.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, but definitely companions make or break the mission.
They make a mission.
We could finish up now talking about what it was like coming home.
Yes.
And so I don't know, maybe you should, or I'll go first. It was weirder for me just because I had video call.
Oh, yes.
So it,
oh, I for think, context, for context, before like 2020, no, before 2019, you weren't able to call family other than Mother's Day and Christmas. Those were the only 2 days you're ever allowed to call home. So the first year of my mission, first year and like a couple months, I was only email. And then they changed it like into my mission to where you were able to do video calls and stuff every P day.
You're able to do video calls or is it just text?
No. So like the last like 7 months of my, like 6-7 months of my mission, I was able to do video calls. They changed that role during my mission.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah. It was really weird and hard because, like, I did the same thing every single week. So I'm like, what do you want to talk about? And I was like, I did the same thing. So it was hard to, like, talk to mom for a long time.
Knocked on a bunch of doors.
That was it. Yeah. It's hot. Done.
So that's the context. On my mission, I had it the entire time because, obviously, yeah. I went after Gavin. And so, weirdly enough, I don't think... I definitely missed you guys, but I would have to say that coming home, it still felt like you guys were all there with me just because I talked to you guys so much, you know, once a week. And so,
and got to see us.
Yeah, so I got off the plane and got to see you guys. That part was awesome. Got to hug everyone. Everyone was like, it was like Morgan had grown up, Reese had grown up. You had...
I had Carly.
You had Carly, a whole fiance at the time who I had never met.
No.
And I remember we get to the house and I go get released as a full-time missionary, go home. You know, it was hard.
How was being released?
It was hard.
Did you cry?
Yeah.
Word.
You did too.
I did. I bawled.
I was there when you got released. I remember you crying.
It was so hard.
Dude, it just feels like... The best way I could explain it is it just felt like...
Such a bittersweet moment.
Yeah, it was like everything you had worked for, everything you had become, all of your hopes and dreams, as well, like, all those emotions of your mission that you had, as well on top of it, also everything you had dreamt of when you were... tired and ready to give up, and you're like, man, I just want to be home. Like, all those emotions, it was like at the same time right then. That's what it felt like. Yeah,
it was so weird, so bizarre. Like, I can't explain why I cried, because like, I was so excited to be home. I was so pumped.
Oh, of course.
I was ready. I want to be home. I was done being a missionary. Not that I hated being a missionary. I love being a missionary, but like, you know, my 2 years were up. I was done. I was good to go. I did it. It wasn't like I was like, oh, send me back for another 2 years. I was like, no, please don't. Please never ask me to do this again. But I also love being a missionary and all those people. And it was like, you know, in the back of my head, I mean, I haven't been back to Mexico since 2019. And so it's like, and all those people that I met and, you know, loved with my whole heart, like, I do love them. Like, those were my people. Yeah. It's hard to leave them behind, you know? It's like, I may never see them again. I'm hoping I get to go down there sometime. I want to go back, but... That's hard.
Yeah. And so that's like all the emotions that like hit you when you get released is just kind of like, it's kind of like you're done, you've accomplished it, but you know, you're different now. You're no longer this full-time missionary where your purpose is to get closer to Jesus Christ. And while you're getting closer to Jesus Christ, also bring others unto Christ. You know, you're now you got to get a job, got to go to school, got to...
That's what it really is. You're like, oh, I got to go back to normal life.
Yeah, exactly.
No, don't send me back.
I don't want to go to school.
I have to go to work. No.
Yeah.
Sure, that's more what it was.
And, I think, like... No, but it was, like, really cool to be back. You know, like, I enjoyed listening to some music again. I enjoyed, you know, I ran and jumped in the pool, like, first thing. Just ran, sprinted, jumped in the pool in our backyard. A little, like... out of the ground pool, a little plastic pool. Jumped in, swam around for a little bit, even though it was like freezing cold, because I had gotten back at like the beginning of September.
Yeah.
So it was pretty cold.
How was it the first time you were alone?
I was fine, except for I do have a memory where I was driving home from somewhere. It was weird. Being alone for the first time is weird. But it wasn't till like a little later where I was like driving home and I just had this random anxiety.
I was like, oh my gosh.
Just this anxiety. And I came to the conclusion that it just carried off from my mission that it, like on your mission, you have this mentality of just like, you need to be doing something all the time. Mm-hmm. You can never relax pretty much.
Yeah, you're always
busy. Except for like when you get home and before you go to bed, between like 9 and 10, you can just kind of chill out right then. But if you're outside of that time frame, you have in your mind like, okay, what am I supposed to be doing? Okay, I gotta be doing this. I gotta be doing this. Cause this. And so you get home, and it all just slows down completely. My body just had that natural like, and my brain I guess just had that natural habit of just being like, okay, we gotta be doing something. Like, what are we gonna be doing right now? Like, what are we gonna be doing? And like I remember I was just sitting there watching like Netflix or something or YouTube and I was like, bro, why am I so like amped up and anxious right now and all I'm doing is just watching YouTube, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, that was it. And it wasn't even that bad. It kind of went away after a few days. But that was definitely, that was a very unique and interesting feeling. The first time, though, being alone with a girl, that was weird. So I went to go donate plasma, and I had to get a physical. So they, like, hey, go back into this room. The doctor will see you soon. So the doctor came in, and it was a female. And she, like, closed the door behind her. And, like, just out of instinct, my mind was like, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Like, alert.
red alert.
Red flag. We're alone with a girl. Can't be good.
Can't be good.
Sins are happening. By the way, this lady was probably, like, mid-30s, maybe 40. Like, she was a woman, like, an adult woman, you know, as a doctor doing, you know. But it was just funny because it was just like, what the heck is going on?
For sure.
But, yeah, coming home was cool, man. It was fun. I really appreciate my mission, and I'm really glad I went on a mission, just because now it's really shaped into who I am as a person now today.
For sure. I totally agree.
So what was it like when you were getting home?
Coming home was really weird for me. It was really bizarre because, so, like, we got, like, a whole – it felt like I got, like, a vacation before I came home. So my mission president had us come down a week before we left. We did, like we went down that night. We slept at the AP's house. At the APs at the time were also leaving with us. They were
AP is assistants to the president.
So the APs were of my, they were in my generation, both of them. So they're leaving with me. And so we were all hanging out, we're all chit-chatting, talking about, you know, funny stuff, funny things we had done with our companions, blah 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 blah, blah, right? The next morning we have, like, interviews with our mission president, you know, we're leaving, and then he's like, all right, well, I don't expect you guys to work. So we had, like, 3-4 days to just go on hikes, go see stuff, go buy stuff for our, like, you know, any trinkets we want for our families to bring back. Like, I had, like, 4 days of just off as a missionary. It was really weird and weird. The most uncomfortable I've ever been in my entire life.
Weird, bro.
It was so weird. It was so weird. Because, like, yeah, I had, you know, people that I had met in my area. So, I went and said goodbye to them. I'm like, hey, I'm going home. What's up? Like, I'm leaving, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, and or we would go and, like, yeah, but it was really weird. Like, we went on, like, a hike every day. Went and got some cool pictures of, like, Saltillo and stuff. Went and saw cathedrals. Like, we went sightseeing, like, every day.
Yeah.
It was probably not as long, but it felt so long. It was probably only, like, 2 days. But it was two solid days that we had. The day that we did interviews and then 2 days after that.
Wow.
Really weird. But, so we go home. We get on the plane. We're flying home. I look down after a while. Like, I kind of took a nap on the plane. I look down. I'm like, holy crap, that's Utah. I can see the Rocky Mountains. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's Utah, guys. And we're all, like, getting hyped. And we're circling the airport. I'm so excited to see my family. I haven't seen him forever. We land. Now we're getting, and then we're getting off the plane. And I'm mentally ready. I'm like, okay, let's see our families, right? But, well, I was like, but, like, you know, I wanted to go. You know, I was going to put on, I had a big belt buckle that I got from a guy that we had taught. And it had a giant rooster on it. So I was, you know, putting my belt buckle on. I wanted to, you know, have that on when I met my family just as a joke, blah, blah, blah. So I was ready, like, I knew, like, I was going to get out, boom, boom, go to the bathroom. Well, where we came out, you know, obviously people are waiting in the wait, you know, at the terminal to also get on the plane. So I walk out and I see people, and immediately my knees buckled because I thought that was my family. Don't know why. I knew it wasn't, but my knees buckled because I thought it was you guys. I was like, oh no.
Oh my gosh.
And then instantly got mega anxiety. Like, I was like, I'm not ready to meet my, I can't see my family right now. Like, I couldn't. Like, I was so nervous to see you guys. I don't know why. I don't know why I was nervous, but I was so nervous to see you guys. And then I went and just my belt buckle, and I was like, I kind of breathed a little bit. I was like, all right, we're good. So then we go to the, you know, escalator, so, you know, come down. And I see, and then I just see Gabe behind random people, and I just see him go and book it back to, like, where our family's at. Because Gabe was, like, watching to see where I was. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I just see Gabe, and he's just like, I see Gabe. Well, I didn't really recognize it was Gabe, but all this, I just see, like, a tall person just go, woof. And then I kind of look, I'm like, oh, that was Gabe. Right? It's like, I didn't see you until you started sprinting, right?
Yeah.
And then I come down, and my mom's, like, at the end of, like, the whole aisle where we walk down. And I see my mom, so I sprint up to her and I give mom a big hug and hug everybody and say hi and what's up. And oh, the bit like hugging mom was like the biggest like sigh of relief. Like I hugged her and then I was like, oh, it's done. You know, like I was like, thank I'm goodness. Home. Yeah. It's done. I did it. Like I made it my 2 years. I served. I was a worthy missionary. Like I made it, you know? And so I was like, oh, thank you. And then, yeah, I went home. You know, we went and got dinner with the fam. And then when I got released, bawled my eyes out. I cried hard. Like an ugly cry, probably. And, you know, mom took my name tag off and gave it to me. And I was like, oh, son of a gun.
That's so hard, bro.
It was so hard. Like, to this day, I just remember that day. And I just get like a little in my heart, you know? Like,
rips your heart out taking that thing off.
It was so hard. Because, yeah, you just, like, the best way I can explain it is, like, you get so close to, because like that's what your focus is on God and Jesus Christ. And you get to teach these people and you're so close to them to like where you start seeing the people you teach as if Jesus Christ sees them and you love them so much. Like you just learn to love so hard. Like the way Jesus Christ loves people. It's just such a pure love for them. They're like, I don't care what you've done in your past. I don't care what you're doing right now. Like all I want you to do is feel what I feel, what I know. Like I know that I'm going to see my family again. I believe in eternal families. Like, I know this is true. I want you to feel that exact same way, you know? For sure. And so you feel this love for these people. And so then all of a sudden that gets taken off and that's like, oh, that is no longer my focus.
Oh, dude, you're going to make me cry right now, bro. Oh, and like, I can feel that, dude.
Like, it's no longer my focus and that love is taken away, but it's like, you don't like take yourself away from Jesus Christ and God, but it no longer can be your 100% focus, right? Like, your focus has to be, all right, I do need a job. You do have to do some things of the world, right? You do have to be a part of it. You do have to, you know. And I'm no longer on my mission, you know?
Yeah, and it's interesting. It's like, you think about, like, when I first was putting the tag on every day, you know, you put my white shirt and tie on, button it up, and put the tag on. It was like, oh, that's cool. Yeah. Well, that's cool. And it's just like day in, day out for 2 years straight, 365 days times two.
Always got a tag on.
Just putting it on. And then by the end of it, it's like that tag almost kind of, it's part of you. And it kind of represents all of that you've been through, who you became, you know, all that. And so, oh my gosh, dude, I can, like, you're making me sad right now thinking about when I used to put my tag on. I'm never going to get to put it back on, dude.
I like to look at mine, like, because it's got scratches and dings and chips out of it and stuff. And it's like, that's my story right there. That's my 2 years. As I like to look at it, like it's in one of these little drawers on my desk, but like, I like to look at it because it is, I have very fond memories of my mission. And so, but yeah, that was really hard. I did cry very hard. And like, I'm not a crier. Like we've already talked about that. Like I do not cry. Like I'm not like capable of it. I don't know why, but like, it takes a lot for me to cry. And so, but like, my mom took that off and I was like, I just started crying. I was like, oh, that's so hard, blah, blah, blah. So, but yeah, then we went home. And then, like, a little bit, like, probably the next day, I think I got in the car and I was like, hey, I'm going to go get a drink at the dugout. Dugout's, like, maybe a mile away. Mm-hmm. I was so nervous. I was like, oh, my gosh, I haven't driven a car. I haven't driven a car in 2 years. I haven't been alone in 2 years. It was so weird. I hated it. Like, I went in, grabbed a drink, got it, left. Like I couldn't have been in the dugout in less time. Like, I was like, see ya, go back home. I need to be with people. Like, and then, like, a week later, I was at one of Gabe's football games, and my buddy Matt texts me, and he's like, hey, do you want to go on a double date? And I was like, no. And mom was like,
what the terrifying?
And mom was like, no, you should go. And I went, and I was like, I hate this. And my buddy got catfished, which was so funny. That was funny. Went on a date. They were really cool girls, but she did not look like her picture. And I won't describe how, but she did not look like her picture. But I went on a second date. They were cool people. They were funny, but it was really weird. Cause I'm just sitting there. Like, I was like, I don't know how to, cause again, one part that was really hard for me was like a lot of missionaries have a companion at least once or twice in their mission, if not more than that. Like, that should be the least amount, but if not more than that, of a companion who is American and speaks English. because most of us come from the United States. Mm-hmm. A lot of us do, you know, if not Utah, you know. I didn't have one. All of them were Hispanic, most of them Mexican, all of them from South America. All of them spoke Spanish, not a lick of English. So for the last 2 years, I quite, like almost, I'd say 98% of the time, I spoke Spanish. Rarely did I speak English. So the other hard part for me was speaking English. Like, I didn't forget English, but it was, like, I do remember, like, my English was choppy. Like, not like, it was slower. Like, right now, I'm like, you know, I can speak, you know, I'm speaking it. It was like, I speak English, and I know, like, it, like, my brain did have to kind of fight to kind of, like, put these words together, because it was weird for me.
It was like you were translating from Spanish to English.
I really was. Like, my brain was doing that as fast as it could. So, it was
just
weird.
Just how earlier you said changes.
Yeah.
They're not called changes, they're called transfers in English. Transfers. But in Spanish, they're called cambios, which a direct translation of cambios is changes.
Changes. So I would throw words out like that all the time. And it still happens to me today. It's still hardwired in my brain. Like, I don't know why. It is a common one for me now, but conseguir is a word I use all the time randomly. Like, conseguir means to get. So, like, I'll be like, hey, can you conseguir this for me? It'll come out just like that. And I'm like, why did I just say that? Like, it's so weird. And I'll say it with, like, a Hispanic. Like, I'll say it with my Spanish. I'm like, hey, can you conseguir this for me? Like, I'll, like, throw on the, you know, the roll my R's and everything. And I'm like, why did I just say that? It hasn't happened for a while, but it does happen every once in a while. It's so weird. It's still hardwired in my brain. But definitely less than right after my mission. So that was even harder. I was just sitting there, like, listening to these people talk. And they were girls. It didn't matter what they looked like. They were girls. And I was like, I don't know what to do. This is weird. I wasn't allowed to be alone. Because the kid's like, oh, let me, like, leave. Like, he left, like, go to the bathroom or something. I'm just alone with these two girls. I'm like, hi, I'm Gavin. Hi, I'm Elder Oldham. Sorry, I mean, I'm Gavin. Like, like, it was so weird, you know? And so that was really weird. But it was cool coming home. I was super stoked. And then, you know, life continued. And but it was fun because I had a lot of stuff to do. Like, I had, you know, you were still in high school. So, you know, Gabe went into, like, high school sports right when I left. And so I didn't get to see any of his high school career, but I got to see the end of it, his senior year where, you know, he's top dog now. And so I got to see that happen. And that was really fun for me. Got to see Gabe play football and absolutely dominate. I remember you getting a concussion. That was crazy.
Get knocked out.
Dude, Carly, like, is so sad when I tell that story, and I laugh the entire time I tell that story.
I think it's hilarious. In the moment, I was terrified, but I think it's hilarious.
Oh, for sure. Because all I remember is, like, Gabe was like, I remember you just, like, say the same thing, and I'm like, Gabe, you just asked me that. And you'd be like, I did? I just said that? And you'd start crying and freaking out, and I'm like, Gabe, it's okay. And then you'd hit the loop again. And I laughed.
What was the score? Where am I?
While it was happening, I was laughing. And my mom was like, you were so heartless. I'm like, he'll be fine. And sure enough, look, he's fine. I mean, he's slightly dumber than before, but he's okay.
Yeah. I guess for context, I got hit in a football game and had short-term memory for about 12 hours. It was about a three-minute memory for 12 hours.
It was crazy. It was so funny. But
well, I hope you guys enjoyed our missions.
Yeah, hope you enjoyed that.
There's definitely a lot more that we could share, but that was a decent little condensed version. I wish we could have shared a little bit more about what we liked, because
we did have a lot of what we disliked.
But don't worry, we definitely, like, if we hated it enough, we definitely would have come home before the 2 years was up.
Yeah, no,
it was like we were out there against our will.
Gabe said it perfectly. It made us who we are today, for sure. Made us into the men we are. I mean, I'll say a lot of other things, but it definitely is a big part of that. So I'm very grateful for it. It was cool. It was fun. Obviously, other people have different memories of their mission, some more fond or less fond than ours, but that was our experience. But we hope you enjoy. You'll get part one and part two this week. I'm sure you guys will eventually hear part threes and part fours of this thing. We have a lot of mission stories we could tell. They'll sprinkle in every once in a while, I'm sure. But we do want to get the girls on to tell their kind of sets of proposal stories and dating and whatnot. So I think that might be the next episode, hopefully. If not, that'll definitely happen at some point in time. That's kind of in the books, hopefully.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll
find the time. But thank you for listening. We hope you guys enjoyed. We'll see you guys next week, and we will be on schedule, I promise. Just some technical issues kind of hit us in the face really hard. So I promise I'll be on time with these. Thanks for listening. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at TheXLPod. TheXLPodcast on both of those. And you can find me at Gavin_Oldham everywhere else. Gabe, where can they find you?
Gabe Oldham.
Perfect. Look us up. Follow us. Tell us that you think we're cute. We would like that. And we'll see you next time. See you later.
Ciao.